Welcome to the Sacred Fame Podcast. My name is Kasia Rashval. Sometimes I feel like I need to make a blooper reel of all the takes and retakes that I sometimes need to do in order to start an episode. Sometimes it just, the words will not come out. The brain is not on or something. I don't know. In today's episode, I want to share the story of manifesting Jupiter. Jupiter is my dog, our family dog, and the way she came about to be part of our family is such a magical story, such a surprising story, especially for the people who are the closest to me, my friends, my family, people who have known me a really long time, because I'm not proud of it, but I never used to be a dog lover or a cat lover for that matter. I didn't enjoy living with animals because of the fur, you know, the responsibility, all of that. It just seemed like a chore. And even though animals are supposed to minimize our stress and all of the benefits that come with having pets, I felt like I was the one person in the world that didn't enjoy that. Anyways, it is what it is. I just thought, you know, we've got two cats, they'll sort of live out their lives. My kids love them. My husband loves them. And then we'll just never have animals again. Well, the universe had other plans. And I don't know why I feel compelled to share this story. It's a story that shows the magic of the universe. I don't actually understand what happened. You know, I've had experiences in the past in my life where the energy around something has shifted so much when I was focused on shifting the energy. Like, for example, healing from the struggle that I used to have around motherhood. You know, I worked on that. I showed up for it day in and day out. I had trainings. I practiced various modalities. I read books. I took courses on how to help myself. And eventually, some years into the path, I felt like I had healed from it. And I no longer struggled with that challenge. This story that I'm going to share with you around manifesting Jupiter into our lives, It surprised me. It came out of nowhere, but it was a similar type of energetic shift where one moment I was this person who didn't want ever to have a dog, didn't like dogs. You know, other people's dogs were fine as long as they stayed away from me because I didn't like the licking, the jumping, the barking, right? I was that person. And the next moment, I was someone who could not imagine my life without a dog. I don't know what happened in that moment, but when I share the story with you, you'll see it was like an ordinary day in my life, and yet it changed everything. And now Jupiter has changed everything in my life. And so the story basically begins last year, 2021, May 22nd. My daughter, who has fish in a fish tank, needed fish food. And so at that point, she was also practicing driving. She was, you know, studying for her new driver license. So she was at the point where she had been taking driving lessons. And so she drove my car to the pet food store. And I came along for the ride, because at that point she still needed a co-driver. And so she's driving, and I have a little Fiat 500. And so she's driving, and she parks it in front of the store. We get out. I start walking towards the entrance of the store. And this was the time where we still had to wear masks into every store, every establishment, right? So she's, you know, getting her bag, locking the car. She's maybe 20 feet behind me. As I'm walking up to the entrance of the store, I see a woman walking with a little white dog. I don't know. He might have been maybe 30 pounds, fluffy, fluffy white thing. And, you know, I was compelled to ask her, oh, wow, what a beautiful dog. What kind of dog is that? And she, I don't think she heard what I said, but she said, oh, you know, I forgot my mask. Do you mind running into the store and grabbing one for me? And so I put my mask on, ran in, grabbed one of those paper ones, and came back out, handed it to her. And I asked again, what kind of dog is that? It's really pretty. And she proceeded to spill this story to me about how she had just rescued him the night before. He's really old. His owner had just passed away, and this dog was put into, I don't know if it was like a shelter or the pound or somewhere where he was supposed to be put down, but she fosters animals. And so she rescued him. And do I want to adopt him? I heard myself say, yes, absolutely. How do I do that? And my daughter's looking at me like I grew a second head. Anyway, we proceed to enter the store. My daughter goes and gets the fish food, you know, finds whatever she needs. And I'm still talking to this woman who picked this dog up. Turns out the dog is an American Eskimo. So super white, fluffy, like long fur. And he, because he was so old, perhaps because he was so old, he just kind of, you know, sat. She picked him up and he sat in her arms and I got to pet him. And his name was Brew. And so she told me, you know, I foster animals with this organization. You go on Facebook, you look it up, you fill out an application, and then you can adopt him. I was like, great, that's what I'm going to do. My daughter paid for her fish food. And as we're walking out of the store, I text Brian, my partner, and I say, you know, I think I just fell in love with a dog. And he texts me back saying, what happened? Like, who are you? And what have you done with my wife? Have aliens abducted you? Or, you know, because it was such a shock. And he told me later that when he got my text, he like literally stood there dumbfounded. And his coworkers were like, what happened? Is something wrong? And it's because my complete shift of I am not a dog person to now all of a sudden, I need this dog in my life. And I don't know what that transfer of energy was. Anyways, you know, fast forward, I like having this conversation with myself going, okay, Kasia, you have to be rational about this. You're not a dog person. You're not really an animal person. Like animals are great, not in my home. Fish are fine because they kind of do their own thing. The cats are pretty independent. I don't like the cat fur. No more animals, but this wouldn't leave me alone. This idea of this dog. And so as I talked to my family about it, my kids and my partner, they were all like, but you don't like animals in the house. And I said, I know, I can't explain this. How would you guys feel about if we adopted this old dog? And they're like, well, we love animals, so let's do it. So they're all in agreement. I go on Facebook, look up this organization, sign up, and start looking for this dog, this little fluffy white dog. Several days go by. I don't find him through that organization. So by now I'm obsessed. I sign up for every other animal fostering organization in the Okanagan. I even sign up by signing up, I mean, I go on Facebook, I find all their pages. I start reaching out. I start looking at pictures of other dogs because I'm thinking, well, maybe this dog was just like a catalyst. Maybe he was like the Cupid who shot the arrow into my heart that now made me love dogs. And so I look up organizations even in Vancouver, which is not, you know, within like driving range from where I live. And I start reaching out. I start submitting applications. I start phoning people. Nobody gets back to me. I never hear back from any of my applications. Like literally, it's a wall. And I'm thinking, what the hell? Why would, why would I fall in love with this dog if I wasn't meant to have this dog? So I start getting a little angsty. I start getting, you know, obsessive attached to this, having this particular animal or any animal for that matter. Now I really want a dog. I cannot imagine my life without a dog. Now, over the years, you know, as you sort of live your life and you watch TV sometimes or whatever, you hear about people who do certain cool things, right? And so I had heard about Cesar Millan, and love him or hate him, he's amazing with what he's capable of doing, right? I happen to really respect his work, and I think he's really fun. And so I was at a thrift store one day looking for something, and I go to the book section, as I always do, because I love books. And wouldn't you know, all four of Cesar Millan's books are there. Universe. Okay, great. Beautiful. So I buy them and I start reading every single one of his books. I'm like fascinated by this man's story and how he has always loved dogs and how he has come to understand them and work with them and the expertise that he has developed, right? His singular focus of being this amazing dog whisperer. And so I'm eating up all these books. Meanwhile, no dog, can't find them. Nobody's getting back to me. I'm a little frustrated going, universe, what the fuck? Okay, you want me to have a dog. Now I want to have a dog. Where's my dog? But of course, you know, knowing what I know about manifestation, the tools I use, I'm like, okay, I need to relax around this. Like I have to relax around this. There's no reason for me to be so obsessed. The right dog will come when it's time to get the dog. And so I decide, okay, I'm going to start showing up even more towards this, because if I'm meant to have a dog, I want to be the best dog owner I can be. And knowing, since I know nothing about really caring for a dog, like we had had a dog years and years ago that we rehomed. I really want to, like, not that I want to be an expert, but I want to be the best dog owner that I can possibly be. So I read all of the Cesar Millan books. My husband and I go camping a couple hours away, and we take our bicycles. And one day we're out on a bike ride. And again, one of those magical moments where the evidence just kind of pops out of the ground. This is like the middle of nowhere. There's a lake, a campsite, and a few cabins. And perhaps some people might live there year round. I don't know, but there's one of those free little libraries by this little, you know, group of cabins. And so of course I have to stop being a book nerd. I stop and I open it, and there's another Cesar Millan book about his TV show. And I kind of knew he had a TV show, but this is like a synopsis of episodes and case studies of dogs he's worked with. Well, I took the book, and again, I spent the rest of the camping weekend reading it, learning more about dogs. So again, more evidence. Now, when we come home, I kind of went, you know what? I'm just going to chill. I'm going to relax around this. I know the right dog will come. I'm not going to push the timing, because obviously I'm getting angsty around it. It's causing me stress at this point. So I'm like, universe, you do the work. I'm going to keep reading about dogs, learning about being a good dog owner, training, you know, how to train a dog, all of that stuff. At this point, we had even considered adopting a puppy, just because no rescue organization was getting back to us with an older dog. You know, I would have been okay adopting an older dog and then just doing whatever we could to help it sort of rehabilitate if that was needed or whatever. But since that's not happening, I'm like, whatever. Fine. If it needs to be a puppy, so be it. So I kind of left it. And now we're into July. And my husband comes home one day from work, and he's like, hey, I was just, you know, looking on one of our local community websites, and I found these puppies down in, I want to say Edgewood, BC, or Edgewater, BC, which is like 2.5 hours south of us through this windy little mountain road. And do you want to go look at them? And of course I saw the picture. I'm like, wow, those are cute. So let's go look at them. But we're not just going to go look at them, are we? We're not going to drive 2.5 hours one way just to go look at a dog. I better bring some money. We pull up to this beautiful rustic farm. And we had arranged to meet, you know, the puppy, the owner of all these puppies beforehand. And he comes out, and he's this brilliant looking older gentleman that has like hair like Einstein, these round glasses, and he's smoking a pipe. And he looks like a wizard, like with this twinkle in his eye. It's amazing. And you know, as we get to talking, and of course, we're playing with the puppies, turns out he used to be a professor of art at, can't remember what college in Switzerland, like a prestigious college in Switzerland. And he had moved his family to Canada and built this beautiful log home, like with his bare hands, and his dog happened to get pregnant, you know, before he had her spayed. And so now there's these puppies, and he just wants them to go to good homes. And of course we fell in love with one of them. We wanted a girl, and there were three girls in the whole litter, and we chose one, and then we put a deposit down. So that was July 22nd. So now from May 22nd, when I had that magical Cupid's arrow moment where I went from not a dog person to desperately in love with dogs, needing a dog in my life, to 2 months later, putting a deposit down on a puppy. She was 6 weeks old at the time. She wasn't ready to go for another 2 weeks. So we drove back home and we're talking about, you know, what would we name her? I can't remember. Maybe the name conversation had been a few, you know, before we had found her. I can't remember the timing now. But anyway, even the way the name came about, we had been tossing around like, okay, so if we had a dog and it's a girl, what would we name her? And I kept throwing around the name of Juniper. And the kids and Brian are like, I don't know, that's kind of difficult to say. And one day we're driving home from somewhere and Brian's like, what about Jupiter? And in the instant he said it, that name had been in my head, Jupiter. And I was like, that's the name, Jupiter. It's got to be Jupiter. And of course, Jupiter, the planet, you know, technically masculine planet, but it's the planet of blessings. It's the energy of blessings. And it just fits. So when we put the deposit down on her, we told the owner, his name is George, this is Jupiter. And we put a little purple collar on her. And this is our dog now. So we're waiting to pick her up a couple weeks later. Now, where I live here in Kelowna, British Columbia, often, most summers, we have massive forest fires. Like often the whole province is on fire. It's tragic, actually. And the same thing happened last summer, where the little town where Jupiter and George and her litter mates were living on the farm was under evacuation order. Now, because she was too young to take away from her mother and her litter mates, of course, I start freaking out like, oh, no, now the dog's in danger. Her brothers and sisters are in danger. George is in danger. Like the farm is in danger. What are we going to do? How can we help? And so we reached out to George and do you need anything? You know, again, freaking out. And he says, don't worry about it. We're fine. I have a son who lives in Lumbee, which is like 2 hours closer to us. We're going to transport the puppies over there and she's going to live there for the next 2 weeks until she's ready to go. So not only was she safe along with everyone else, the universe now brought her 2 hours closer to where I live. So I no longer had to drive 5 hours to pick up my dog. I could drive an hour, you know, just literally go after work, pick her up and bring her home. And magic, right? So long story short, we pick her up, we bring her home, and she has completely transformed my life. Obviously the life of my family, but mine especially, because I work out of my home office. And so I'm home all the time, which means I get to take care of her and I can't be a workaholic anymore. She needs to be fed. She needs to be walked. She needs to be played with, right? She's a social creature. And she reminded me that I am also a social creature. And it's not good for me to just be stuck to my work all the time. So she's been this magical little dog that we've gotten to train from, you know, very young age, and because we had done all that research and reading about how to be good dog owners, we sort of mostly knew what we were doing and how to handle things. Of course, we signed up for puppy classes and all of that, so we had help. But she has become, so she's almost one, she has become this beautiful, loving, rambunctious, super high energy dog, but she's just magic. And I am so grateful. And there hasn't been a day that goes by that I regret buying her and bringing her into the family. And so again, I don't know how that happened, right? I don't know what happened at my soul level, at my energetic level, in the universe, that gears shifted, the stars aligned. I was at the right place at the right time where I met that fluffy little white dog with his foster mom. And something shifted in me where I all of a sudden fell in love with dogs. And now I have my own dog and I adore her. And she has changed my life. She's made me healthier. She's made me take care of myself better, you know, because obviously she can't just take care of herself, right? It's kind of like having a baby, but not really. Puppyhood was hard. I won't lie to you. It was frustrating many, many times. And yet none of the frustration was ever so bad that I regretted any of it. It has added such joy and such pleasure to my life and just shifted everything. And so I don't know why I felt compelled to share this story. I've been wanting to share this story of how we manifested our dog Jupiter and the magic she has brought for a long time. And as I planned my podcast episodes, I kept hearing like, no, not yet, not yet, not yet. And yet this episode is the one where I share the magical story of my magical dog Jupiter. And I'm in awe at the whole process. I'm in such deep gratitude because there's so many stories that I could tell around how now her being part of our family has completely shifted other decisions, the direction of our whole life, even down to, you know, where we're moving to, because I'm going to be moving my office to a new location. We're moving homes shortly here. And all of this has, you know, been precipitated because of that one shift. And perhaps it's because I was open to it. Perhaps because I wasn't, I don't know. I don't know how this whole magical process worked. But it just invited me to be open to magic more. And it showed me the process of how easy manifestation can be when we are not attached, right? When we decide what we want, and then we show up every day to move towards it, but we're not attached to the timing of when it comes or how it comes. I didn't know what kind of dog I was going to end up with. I knew I didn't want a little tiny toy dog of any kind because we hike a lot. We're active. You know, we go paddle boarding and biking and stuff. And so we needed a dog that would fit in with our activities. And she does. She's amazing. She's strong and fast, and she loves the outdoors. She loves the snow, especially. So when you're open to magic in the universe and you allow yourself to have what you want, even if it makes no sense, even if other people are like, what, like, why would you want that? You don't, you're not that person. What if you became that person? When the invitation is there from your universe or your spirit or your soul, what if you allow it to yourself to become the person who completely changes their life because you feel compelled? And it doesn't mean everything's going to be rainbows and unicorns. Like, that is never, ever the case. You know, like I said, it was hard to have Jupiter when she was a baby dog. She's still a handful. You know, it definitely has created a shift in how I schedule my day and what I need to do, what I get to do. So frustration and intensity and all of that challenge is still there. But the payoff of being open to this magic and having the courage to say yes and adjust has been tremendous. It has far outweighed any of the challenges, even in the intensity. So what would happen? Do you have something like that in your life that has happened to you? Or are you open to having magic like that, you know, come into your life and just going with it and seeing where you end up, seeing how it changes your life, even if it ends up completely changing your life, like 360 degrees or even 180 degrees, where you're in one place being one person, all of a sudden you're a completely different person. And no matter what anyone says, if there's naysayers, if there's haters, if there's people trying to convince you, don't. Do you have the courage to keep going with it and only surrounding yourself with the people who hold that vision with you, who are so excited about it with you and for you? And if you say yes to that, or if you have said yes to that, isn't it worth it? Right? So I'd love to hear from you. Do you have a story like that too, where magic happened and your life completely changed, even though the whole process was kind of mysterious to you? I would love to hear from you, and have an amazing rest of your day, your week, and I will see you next time.